Welcome to Shotgun No Battle. Here, three brothers have passionate conversations you won't find at any dinner table. We have CJ, who's the youngest.
Why does it bother you? Let's freaking talk about this.
Buddy, who's the oldest.
Oh, come on. Oh, interesting. Huh.
And then, of course, there's Colton.
But I don't say them to shove them in your face. I say them to let you know in case you want to look further into that, right?
A different brother will pick the topic of each episode and lead that conversation. So, here we go. Shotgun, no battle.
Shotgun, no battle.
Hello, and welcome to Shotgun, no battle. My name is CJ.
My name is Colton.
And my name is Buddy.
We are indeed the three brothers. A couple of things. Before we get started on this first episode, which is very exciting. Well, hopefully you have some forgiveness for any recording follies or lack of decorum, because we're still trying to figure it out. So I guess that's the first thing. The second thing is that every episode, this is kind of how it's going to work. Every episode, one of us is going to choose the topic of that episode. It can be about absolutely anything, the various things that interest us. It can be about a hot button topic, religion, politics. It can be about the future, robotics, money, absolutely anything. And then third, our goal is to not ever fight or be closed-minded, but to learn how to have open conversations with open minds. I think that's somewhat of a goal of why there's three of us, is because if two of us kind of start to get combative, the third can act as the moderator to help smooth things over and call anybody out on their bullcrap if they're being closed-minded. And then last but not least, why we call it Shotgun No Battle, or as we said growing up, Shotgun No Battle. I'm curious, from your guys' perspective, we talked a lot about the name. How and why did we land on Shotgun No Battle?
Well, we disagreed a lot on the name. We were almost going to name this podcast. We couldn't agree on a title.
That's true.
The Shotgun No Battle kind of incorporated the same thing, in that, like, it was a lot of things growing up were automatically a competition. I mean, sitting in the front seat wasn't really that big of a deal.
Oh, totally was.
But you...
It was absolutely a big deal.
Why are you even playing this game?
Fine. No, hang on. Hear me out. I'm just saying a big part of it was the fact that you won something.
Oh.
That's true. There's that satisfaction of beating others.
Yeah, I never
got
that.
It was the trophy.
I never got the satisfaction of beating either of you two.
Whatever.
I think it came down to, if it's something that I really wanted, then that's when I would play the game.
You're telling me you never got satisfaction from winning something?
No.
I
never sought satisfaction from seeing my brothers experience something lesser than what I was experiencing.
Okay, well, that's different than winning or
beating.
Yeah,
I like winning what I want, and that's the point.
Okay.
If I wanted it, then I went for it.
Okay.
And from the front seat was miles better than the back seat. The back seat was terrible.
Huh.
Well, especially because you two got car sick all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
If I sit in the back seat, I'm in the middle, and I don't care if there's two of us back there. I'm sitting right next to you, and I'm going to be in the middle seat.
You're in the middle. You're also leaning forward, so your face is essentially between the driver
right
and the passenger.
Between the two in the front. They might as well give shotgun to me every time at that point.
I also wanted to be noted that Colton, who was the one just talking about the middle seat, is the middle child. Buddy, who apparently gets all sorts of satisfaction for winning against brothers.
Hey, I'm just
he's
honest
the oldest.
About it. Sorry.
He likes prizes. Yeah, he's the oldest.
And then I'm the youngest. From my perspective, Shotgun No Battle, it was something, so it kind of communicates the competitiveness that we have always had with each other. And there's a total of 3-year age gap between me, the youngest, and Buddy, the oldest, and Colton is 14 months younger than Buddy, right? So we're all very, very close to each other. So competitiveness landed, and it is there. It is significant. But also, it kind of had a dual meaning of, like, in this conversation, we're kind of, you know, fighting for to be in the passenger seat, to be in the driver's seat, but then we're trying not to battle. So it's like, I'm there's still something for me to kind of be aggressive towards, but we're technically not trying to battle. That's kind of the whole point, is to get shotgun without battling.
Having to battle. And, you know, this really, I find, did play in my favor specifically fairly well, in that if it did come down to us battling physically for the front seat, I would never have gotten shotgun. I never would be in that seat. So, I appreciated it for sure.
There was no battle.
Well, was battle a physical battle, or was that like
it was always the driver's choice.
What? What about like rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, well, it was always the driver's choice. So if the driver wanted to do trivia as the battle,
well, then but they when could does the battle trivia. Come around?
Oh, the driver would
so
choose.
So basically, okay, shotgun okay. though, and someone yells battle before they have time to finish, that's when the driver would decide what the battle would be.
Or if they didn't say no battle.
Yeah, just shotgun. It's like friggin' battle. Yeah, son, you got to cover your butt on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, could you say shotgun no battle at that point to follow up?
No, the first once battle, no. Once battle's
have to say
called.
Battle. So it's called shotgun, and now it's a okay,
well,
I guess we're battling.
Even if two people are running around the building or something to get the car with an eyesight, which you have to have it in eyesight
line
to call
of
it
a thing. Sure.
On the way, somebody can call battle if they don't think they're gonna. Dude, that was always a thing. If
yeah,
so,
totally.
You can call battle before anyone says shotgun. And then it's a battle.
So this is why we named the podcast Shotgun No Battles, because we're trying not to battle, but sometimes, you know, we may have to battle.
Yeah, it just kind of happens sometimes. Yeah, for sure. I love there are all these rules, because it's like Colton was like, if it ever came down to battling physically, it would be terrible. I always hated the whole line sight thing, because I'm so slow.
Oh, yeah.
So if I had to like manipulate my way to like, no one think about it. Don't think about it. And then once we were close enough, I would jump forward and try and see it and say it.
Just mosey on through casually. Yeah. No conspicuous look
on
his face
at all.
It ain't
on my
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I found a website recently called officialshotgunrules.com. Oh, and it's got some pretty fantastic, thorough, funny shotgun rules. They're a little different than what we grew up with, but
we'll have to go
pretty
over
similar.
Those sometime.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I wonder if there is anybody listening that doesn't know what shotgun means.
Dude, there's no way.
I don't know what shotgun
means. I don't know.
One thing I learned from the website is that we hear it was from coach
where they
driving.
It's where they kept
first on the right. Yeah, so that's not where shotgun came from. They didn't call it shotgun at the time. The term shotgun didn't enter our culture until like early 1900s.
When we discovered that there was a right-hand man back in the day with a shotgun
Hollywood started calling that shotgun.
Shotgun.
Based on that history, but they didn't call it shotgun at the time when it was actually a thing.
You're telling me that we started a podcast and we're naming it after something from our childhood that was introduced to us by Hollywood?
It came from Hollywood.
That's pretty deep right there.
Nice.
All right.
That's great. All right, bud. So you get to decide the topic of our first episode. So hit us with it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I want to talk about goals. Because I have like two competing thoughts. One is that goals are good, necessary, helpful. Mm. And the other is that they can be like a big source of like shame. Maybe it's not about goals, but what is a goal to you guys? What does it mean to have a goal?
We just rolling with that, or are we going to go over some bullet points and then circle back?
We're going to roll with that.
Yeah, I think that's a great opening question. I don't know the answer. I need a second to think. So, Colt, can you fill the open space?
Yeah, I can just spill my thoughts on goals. It's definitely been on my mind lately as well. I'm really good at setting goals, and I have set many a goals in my life for sure, and it doesn't seem like I achieve many of them, and so I have been thinking about why that is lately, and it's still a pretty mysterious thing, but ultimately it feels like goals to me are one method to represent my inner desires, to externalize what I know that I want for myself, so that I can remind myself day to day what that is, instead of always having to be in tune with that specific desire for myself. You know what I mean? So goals are an external representation of my inner desires and my hope to achieve those things, in hopes that I will maintain and build the habits that it takes to get to those goals.
Okay, so for you, it has to be external. It has to be like written down somewhere. Otherwise, it's not a goal.
No, it's not working for me. But that's what I feel goals are a good construct of in general. I think that's kind of what their purpose is.
Interesting. So I've written down plenty of goals, right? I've been the person that builds a dream board and puts it up and puts sticky notes of goals that he wants to accomplish on his bathroom mirror. Like, I've been that person quite a bit, but what I think I have found, pretty much any goal that's not around physical health, I do fairly good at both setting and accomplishing. What I have found is that the only time that I am going to accomplish a goal in an effective and pleasing way is when I am 100% aligned with that goal, and that it fits my actual desires of my life. So instead of writing goals that require like an entirely different shift in my day-to-day, an entirely different shift in what I value. Like, that's why I struggle with the physical goals, right? I can write a physical goal of, I'm going to go to the gym every single morning. Well, what I value in life is fun. That's like probably the biggest thing that I value in life. Going to the gym every morning is so the opposite of fun for me. And so I never accomplish it. If I write that goal as I'm going to play basketball every morning, suddenly it's fun. And that's what I value. I have to be aligned with those goals. I mean, that's why I ended up doing for a living what I am doing, is because what I value is storytelling. And I honestly think I value the fun that storytelling can have. And for a long time, right, I wanted to end up at Participant Media, these movies that tell socially these stories that, when told, inspire social change. That's their whole thing. But I ended up in kids and family content. And I think it's because what I value truly inside of me is fun, is happiness. And like, a social change is great and I'll support it and I love it. But like, what I value is having an absolute ball. Well, so I ended up I'm going to wear a Bugs Bunny button up shirt to a business meeting today. And I'm ecstatic about it.
Oh yeah. Kids and family gets to do whatever they want in those meetings.
Absolutely.
<right?
laughs>
Well, awesome. And along those same lines, Siege, have you also thought about how, if your desire at Participant Media was to create social change, where does the culture start, and where is our future social circle right now? So
yeah, right, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons that I don't fully value that within. Like, I don't. That's not a driving force for me deep down. Is because it's such an objective thing.
Sure.
Right. What is social change? What does it look like? What do we need to change? What do we need to do? But fun is kind of a universal language. Tom and Jerry is one of the biggest shows everywhere in the world, cartoons everywhere in the world, because they don't ever speak the universal language of just like fun to watch. So as long as a goal is aligned with who I am as a person and what I stand for and what I value, I find that it comes fairly easy in my life.
Gotcha. There you go. So it's almost like goals are much more likely to be accomplished if there's like an innate fuel, an innate driver inside of us.
If the goals, yeah, if they, the goals align, yeah, with what drives you.
I think that it goes back to what Colton said, which it means that it doesn't need to be external, because it is so much a part of you that whether it's internal or external, like it's you. And there are things that you have to, I think, externalize to understand them, right? Mm-hmm. Is to understand yourself. That's why therapy is amazing, is you externalize what's inside and then it's reflected back to you. So goals, there are reasons to make goals external for that reason.
It's another reason that I really have grown to appreciate close relationships, in that the closer you get to a person, the better you get to know them, the more you are holding up mirrors for each other. And it's and therapy is an attempt to recreate a genuine relationship, right? To try and be that mirror, I think. But if you're open to reflecting on who you are anyways in your relationships, that's what I found one of the best ways to do it. And that helps me figure out what my goals should be.
Yeah, so it sounds like...
Interesting.
Yeah, what I'm getting from this is goals maybe may not be just useful just to, like, get to a certain destination, but in the measuring of something, we get a clearer picture of where we're at.
Ooh!
You
that's a good metric.
So in terms of, like, you know, holding up a mirror to yourself and being like, where am I actually on this? I haven't been tracking it. Like, I think of running, for example. It's something I do without, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to run. You know, I don't have any goals right now with respect to running. I just do it frequently. I enjoy it. So I don't need to set goals in order to run. I may want to set goals in order to run faster. Like, I just, this works out. I just signed up for the Wellsville fun run on Wellsville Founders Day. I think it's Labor Day, September 6th. I've got that long to make sure I can run that distance without dying. So
why did you sign up for that then?
I thought to myself, it's been a while since I've done a race, and that would be fun. And ancillarily to that, I was like, I should probably like plan on running more frequently, longer distances leading up to that in preparation. But it never entered my mind, like, I'm going to set like this goal. I'm going to run this amount by this time. But like, I don't know how frequently I run, really. I could guess. I don't know how long I run or how far. But if I set a goal, I would want to start measuring those things, and then I would know.
So something that relates to this fairly well, actually, that I'm picking up for myself is had a conversation with Dad last night. In that conversation, I briefly mentioned something that I've talked to you about, Siege, briefly. In that I've always had a hard time saving money. Like, I've always had a hard time saving money. Like, money is there. And there are things in life that I could do with that money. Why would I not do that? That's been my whole life for the most part. And since I have discovered an alternative to money, Bitcoin, and I have transitioned into a different monetary system than I've ever experienced before. I realized that my belief that Bitcoin will only increase in value over the remaining years that I have in my life is the difference, I think, for me. Because growing up, I didn't see a point in saving some money for down the road if I could spend it now, and down the road I could spend the same amount. And so anyways.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's changed my financial, it's changed the way that I think about my transactions that I make now. Because I'm spending this store of value that's worth this much today. I could get myself a Kneaders, you know, breakfast instead of cooking at home for $12. But that $12 could be $24 within a year. Like, and so I reconsider my purchases now more than I ever have before. I can't remember the last time I reconsidered a purchase I had decided to make. So along that thing with goals, I'm able to actually save money now. And that has always been a goal of mine that I've tried to do, but I just never saw the point before.
So you both have described goals that I would say the majority of at least America that have any desire to be better, they set goals of running or physical health and money.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So both of you, so Buddy, you're saying that it wasn't even a goal, it's just something you did.
Right.
And for my opinion, I'm like, oh, well, that's just because you're aligned with that.
Right.
You've already figured that out.
Makes
and then
sense.
Colton, you're aligned with, like, you probably more than anybody I know, your shirt is evidence of that, is that
oh, yeah.
you live to the core values that you believe, probably better than the majority of people I know.
Yeah.
One of the core values, you have a physical manifestation of a Bitcoin
hanging on
as a necklace.
Yep. And it's 24 karat gold plated right there.
I'm gonna go with medallion
over the shirt that is a Bitcoin Pac-Man
eating
to chomp up the
ghosts.
What do they call
the ghosts? Are the ghosts are the red ghost is a dollar, the US dollar. The blue ghost is the euro and
the pound,
and the purple ghost is the pound, so it's going to eat up all them currencies.
so you believe that, and so you live it to the absolute extreme.
Yes.
And because of that, it's so aligned with who you are that money has all of a sudden become a goal that you can accomplish.
Yeah.
So I'm going to double down on my original theory that I did not think all the way through, but just kind of said, in that if it's aligned with who you are as a person, it's going to be much easier to accomplish. Now, I want to ask Bud, so you bring this up as a topic. What are the goals that you are frustrated you're not accomplishing?
That's, ooh, I'm so glad you asked. The reason I brought this up, it's been on my mind quite a bit lately, because I don't have any goals right now. So when I think of a goal, and I think, you know, everyone's got a different concept of the word goal. For me, it represents like an effort at directing change. We're all changing from moment to moment. I'm a different person now than I was when we started this podcast or this episode. So in my mind, goals are an effort to direct
that change,
direct that change in one, you know, in one way or another. And I would agree with Colton that externalizing it and putting it on paper is kind of necessary for it to be really a goal. And also, if it's something I'm going to do anyway, I kind of wouldn't count that as a goal. So when I think of a goal, I'm like, I want to make this kind of change, and I'm going to measure it and I'm going to write it down. So that's what I think of when I think of goal. And I haven't done that really, like, in the sense of, like,
can I pause you?
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was something you were going to do anyway, you don't consider that a goal because it's not change, correct?
Right, right.
So does that mean, because you had the two thoughts on goals, this is how you opened it up, right? You have the two thoughts on goals. One, it's a necessary way to direct change. And two, it is full of shame and can be a negative thing in your life.
Well, I didn't...
If you...
Was it that it is a necessary way, but that is it a necessary way?
Got it, that it possibly could be.
Yeah.
That's you are considering that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you, like, it sounds like you're not setting goals that you know you can accomplish, because in your head, why would you set that goal if you know you're going to accomplish it? Which means that every goal that you do set, you're most likely not going to accomplish.
Well,
that goals can be full of shame.
There's a difference between knowing you can accomplish and knowing you're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
So, like, making a goal possible versus not possible. I don't have a history, really, I would say, of setting impossible goals. And I'm starting to think it doesn't matter so much what I can do, because I can do anything. It matters what
right.
I will do.
So I have some insight that might I don't know. It might be insightful. Buddy, it seems like you're setting goals and your desire to track your goals aligns fairly well with you as the data-driven person that you are, who loves spreadsheets and analytics. It seems like maybe you're setting, you're wanting to track, set and track goals so that you can track progress towards. But what are you tracking progress towards, I guess? Are you setting goals for the sake of getting them tracked and getting the data on yourself? Or are you setting the goals for the goal itself, for the end game?
Well, remember that the reason it's been on my mind is because I haven't set goals in a while. Mm. It's been a long time since I've written down goals like in that setting. Like I've written down things I want, like affirmations or whatever. I am keeping track, and have been, you know, in one way or another for a while, of like things that I'm doing that I want to do on a daily basis. I don't know that I would call it goals, though. That's more just like keeping track of what I'm doing. So and my question has become, like, why earlier in life, like years ago and growing up, like, why do I have the sense that goals, you know, it can be a source of shame? Like it's almost like I had been setting all these expectations and pinning my personal worth on the accomplishment of those goals. And many of them I would accomplish, and some that I wouldn't, and the ones that I wouldn't, I've realized recently, like when I was growing up and then through my 20s, the ones that I wouldn't were a source of shame, I think, because I had been pinning my personal worth on them.
Yeah, I can friggin' insight the crap out of this, and I think it's probably more obvious than you're thinking, which is, and so it is a good time to bring up that we were all raised as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, aka Mormons, and you two have distanced yourselves from the teachings. Colton is officially no longer a member, but he's still technically a member, though not practicing. And I am actively,
we got that full breath,
engaged. Yeah. But I think, at least for me, is that some of the biggest goals that we set was to not diddle with ourselves, because that's a sin.
Well,
and you shouldn't do that. And then I know for me growing up, I just couldn't not.
Yeah.
It just, and so when I did, I was told that it's like, we are told by the leaders of the church that it's that porn and sexual sin is like among the worst, that it is a plague to the earth, that it is
dirty.
I can think of a specific talk that was, if we look at pornographic images, that they the analogy was made that they are meteors to our mind that create craters that will never go away.
Oh.
Right? That's like a permanent, that was Jeffrey R. Holland. That was like, that's a thing. So from my perspective and my relationship with goals growing up, is, and specifically if those goals are tied to quote unquote sin, they will absolutely 100% determine my self-worth.
Mm.
So I would think if you have been conditioned over several years of not being able to accomplish the goal of not masturbating, then those feelings, whether they have to do with sin or not, of not accomplishing a goal, probably associate, the neural pathways have been dug so deep that those feelings of self-worth being obliterated by not accomplishing a goal will end up being the case for any goal.
I do think it's worth noting that it does not seem like we are unique as adolescent boys growing up in our inability to refrain from discovering what sex was all about, right?
Totally.
Hormones raging. So it does make sense, though, with the with growing up in the church and having an emphasis on that because of how destructive the belief is that that is, and I do agree with that, by the way, that puts a little more pressure on people. And Buddy, you definitely have always wanted to be the best that you were told you could be. Like, you always wanted to make mom and dad proud. I know that.
I mean, everybody put him on a pedestal, yeah, of, like, we talked about you being an apostle, right? You were perfect.
Oh, man.
You were smart.
I remember all kinds of daydreams about being like a prophet or something when
totally.
I was a teenager.
Because we talked about it all the time. You were the driven one. You know what I mean? You were the perfect specimen and example of what a teenage boy could be.
Here's a fun insight from therapy. So I recently, for some more context, I am a recovering alcoholic. I've been battling alcoholism for about 4 years. I was in residential treatment in April and May, and as part of that, there was some therapy. And one of the discoveries I made in those sessions was that my leaning into church activity, not just church activity like external signs, but also like leaning into the belief, the internal convictions, was the other side of one side of the coin. The other side of the coin was my behaviors, my sins, and my shame associated around that. The shame from my sins that I did not feel ever okay talking to anyone about, I made up for it subconsciously by diving more into the church and the beliefs, which made the shame and the sins worse because my knowledge and light became greater and greater, and my convictions became deeper, and then the worse shame would cause me to dive in even more. So that's what was going on the whole time. Not to say that the convictions and the actions were insincere. They were totally sincere. I didn't.
So it was an overcompensation,
yeah,
kind of thing.
An attempted correction.
Yeah. Interesting. That's fascinating. I had another thought about goals that just hit me, about how goals can be bad. So I was actually talking about this with a friend. So I live in Los Angeles, and a big kind of theme within Los Angeles, especially I think within the culture of the LDS church out here, is that the man wants a career in entertainment. So he brings his wife and his family out to LA to try and make it. And it's super, super difficult. And the wife, who doesn't care to be here, grows resentful of the husband. I've seen it over and over and over. That's why my wife is just, I will sing her praises all day because she's one up to me on my own goals in LA. And
oh yeah, she dove in.
Has made it her dream.
I'm here. Yeah. I'm here for this ride. You gonna catch up or what?
Might as well freaking show him that I'm better. And so I was talking to a friend where this was the case, where she didn't want to be here. She, when they were engaged, he had already been living here. And when they were engaged, they talked about it. And she said, I don't want to live here. And he's in music, right? So he's like, I have to be here. And she's like, okay. And then they got married, and now she's essentially stuck in LA, and that's her mentality. So as they discuss, he says, you know, if we can create an income that can sustain us, that isn't reliant on Los Angeles, then we'll move anywhere in the world. If we can get like a passive, you know, several thousand dollars a month, then we can move back to Utah or wherever it is that you want to go. So she sets a goal in her head to save and to fight and to scrap. And so she can buy property that then gives her a monthly disposable income. So that she can get out of Los Angeles. Ugh. Which means
her life has sucked this last year.
Her goal is to get out. Like, it's entirely based on leaving the situation that she is in. So she, like, literally, I was talking to her and she's like, I don't like the area that I live. And we were like, then move. She's like, well, no, because then rent will be higher and it will take longer for me to get out of LA. And I was like, but you hate your life here right now. And she's like, yeah, but I'm willing to deal with that for like more intensity for a shorter amount of time so I can get, so that goal just might be the most toxic thing in her life.
I mean, if her desire is to be anywhere but where she is, and the only way but she also wants to be with her husband, right? Like, she chose into LA and she knows that.
Yeah.
Because the priority for her, she wanted to be with him more than she did not want to be in LA. So she went. And I think her setting a goal to, if he told her, hey, $2,000 to $3,000 passive income a month, and we can get out of here and I can do my thing anywhere we want to. It sounds like she just took that and was like, this is what I can do to get myself out of the situation that I do not want to be in. And so I'm going to do it. It feels like it's not so much toxic as it is really her only option, right?
Well, I say pahooey to that. I say
outside only of just straight option, leaving right? his ass.
No, this that means that this whole idea is that she is looking forward and she sees this wall, or actually all around her, she sees a wall and she is convinced that the grass is greener on the other side.
Well, she's already experienced the other side.
She did live in Utah. Yes, you're right. But she has created a reality, because that's the thing, is that the entire future, every single thing about her reality will be different if she moves. She has no skills within inside herself to be able to change her reality, like right where she is. In my opinion, sure. I think it's not the only choice. The choice is to set goals to love LA.
I mean, I definitely would.
Because he wants to be there. He would sacrifice to leave.
I would be doing what she's doing if I was in her position, because I don't know that I would like L.A. In its current state, right? But this was probably a year or two ago. Regardless,
no,
personally, I would not want to be somewhere. And I could say, yeah, I could make the best of the situation and try to love this place. And yeah, that is one take that if it's going to take the same amount of effort to fall in love with something you hate as it will to get away from that thing that you hate, I guess.
Also, keep in mind that this would be a goal that is in direct opposition to the husband, because he wants to be there. And so his whole, we'll leave if we have the money, is like a way to please her. Right. So she's setting goals that are in direct opposition of her current reality and direct opposition of her husband. That, in my, from my perspective, is a negative goal.
It sounds like she doesn't.
Because then there's resentment.
So it sounds like she doesn't believe in her husband.
No, they make plenty of money. He's a successful dude.
I want to come at this with an idea that the idea that a goal is a tool. And it can be used. The goal itself is neutral. I think the attitude that both sources the goal and then drives the goal is what makes it toxic. So it's the attitude that's toxic. Goals are tools. They can be used for good. They can be overused, and they can be used in toxic ways. That's kind of where I've gotten to after thinking about like how. How am I feeling okay with myself if I haven't set a goal in like 3 years? and like, so there's this podcast I listened to recently at the behest of a member of my support group that talks about changing from love. And the idea is that if you want to make a change, if you do it because you're unsatisfied or unhappy with some part of yourself or your situation, it's going to be a long road to hoe.
Difficult.
Whereas if you first accept yourself, accept your situation, and love yourself where you're at, exactly how you are right now, first, and then consider any changes you may want to make, Well, you're going to be changing from changes. Love, and it's going to be a lot easier and a lot more fluid. Yeah. And I think that goes back to what you were saying originally, CJ, was it's because it's going to be more aligned.
Yeah.
I think filling your goals with pursuing your goals for the purpose of finding something you enjoy is going to be a little more productive than setting goals to get away from something. So to your point,
exactly. CJ,
If she pursued the option that led to her enjoying something over her getting away from something for anything else, really, it's what it sounds like, that might definitely have better results for her.
Yeah, that's a good... that's interesting. So I am... Probably my biggest goal right now is a financial one. And I'm not even sure if it's the goal that I want. So the goal that I set was to be to buy a house out here in LA in 5 years. So the way to do that, and so I kind of trace that back so what I need to do is I need to save more money, or I need to have more money. And in order to save more money, I need to make more money. In order to make more money, and then I landed on, okay, so I need to, if I need to make money, what do I do? And that's where I ran into, there are so many things that I could do to make money that I would absolutely hate, right?
Oh, yeah.
I could, coupons, right? I could invest, like, energy into coupons.
You could be a sex worker.
I could be a sex worker. I could go give of my plasma. I could, right? There's like all sorts of stuff. And that's where I landed, where it's okay. So it's not worth it for me because one, I could do those things, but I wouldn't enjoy doing them. Thus, I wouldn't do them long term. Thus, I wouldn't accomplish the goal that I want to accomplish. And so what I decided to do was like, hey, what's something that I enjoy? And I was like, I really enjoy like my comic books, and I know them really well. So what I did was I went through every single comic book that I have, which ain't no small feat, and one by one checked on eBay to see the price.
There you go.
I stumbled on a book that is out of print that is currently worth about $1,000.
Nice.
Just, I had no idea that I even had it. And so I have found that when I am, one, it's sustainable, right? I can continually look into comic books.
And the value will likely only increase of the overall collection. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I found individual issues. So I can then, if I know comic books so well, why don't I just buy comic books that I believe are going to increase in value and hold on to them for a little
bit.
Oh, man.
There you go.
And then sell them, right? So it's like, and now all of a sudden I'm freaking jazzed about this idea. It's all that I'm thinking about.
That's fun.
I'm like online all the time, right? And so now suddenly this long-term goal of being in a house in 5 years isn't even what I'm thinking about anymore. Yeah. I'm like just doing something that like I want to do. It's a freaking ball.
See, that's beautiful.
I'm all about it.
That's beautiful. That's exactly. So you went back. Yeah, you traced it back. And found something, that's kind of akin to changing from love. Instead of like, I'm not satisfied with my financial situation right now, I want this, you know? Not to say that that's what you were thinking, but it's just so different to be coming from a place where you're like, oh, I'm happy right now, and then this path sounds like a blast.
Well, so technology
it's really hard to do sometimes, though. Anyway,
Cool. Technology is really, really expensive, right? And I love technology, but I can't save money worth shit throughout my life, right? Like,
yeah.
But I love technology, so I've had every single iPhone but the iPhone 6, with the exception of when they started coming out with multiple models every year. Then I will have had one of those. But the only reason I was able to do that is because I realized, like, I chose a good brand to be passionate about from the very, very beginning, who happens to have made it at this point, like, huge, right? So that's a plus. But because of that, the value of the iPhone was hands down the one that retained its value most over time, compared to any of the other electronic devices. Didn't even have to be a smartphone, basically. And so I was able to make the decision, okay, I'm going to make sure that in a year when this new iPhone comes out, that my current iPhone is in pristine condition so that I can get top value for it. And then I'll only have to spend $100, $200 maybe for the new $700 iPhone or whatever it ends up being. And so I made that happen because it's a passion of mine outside of my means traditionally, which is just pay for a new iPhone every year.
Totally.
And so it was something that aligned with what I loved. It was a goal that I had to always stay updated on my electronics because I'm passionate about it, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this idea of changing out of love, it's funny because in my head, love is something very specific, and then enjoyment or fun is something very, it's like akin to love, but it's not necessarily like love itself. Because Colton loves his iPhone, so he takes care of it. That doesn't sound fun to me at all, right? But to like, to do, and but to look into comic books, like, yes, I love it, but it's also, it's fun. So it's like, it's whatever that core value is. The movie Rise of the Guardians. Have you guys seen Rise of the Guardians?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rise of the Guardians.
Freaking
we'll get the teeth.
It is, yes. And in that movie, it's Santa Claus gives Jack Frost this whole speech about what is his core, right? And Santa's core is wonder. And then Jack Frost discovers that his core is fun or play. And so I've thought about that a lot as far as like, what is my core? And for me, my core is the curiosity of being a child, like that child, the childlike wonder of the world and having that perspective. So if I can find ways, like literally the way that I get, I've been losing weight, guys.
Nice.
Because I've been playing a game a lot. I just play basketball. And it's an absolute ball.
Man. Well, yeah.
So it is trying to find whatever that core value is. Because Colton, for you, it's not, I don't think it's fun.
Oh, it is fun. It is. No, it's absolutely fun. The reason I have.
No, I mean your core value.
My core
your
value.
Your core value isn't fun.
It's not fun. It is. It's joy. But also I would say curiosity is probably more accurate. Because I love learning how anything works, right? I love putting different pieces together and creating new things from, you know, so curiosity is definitely my underlying value.
So, Bud, that's what I would start to frame goals around, and maybe even don't even use the word goals, right?
Okay.
Just like it's whatever that core value is for you. What is that thing that drives you? That if it's involved in any aspect of your life, you suddenly are motivated to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like for Colton, I think also a core value for Colton is convenience, which is why technology is what he's drawn to much.
Efficiency
is this. Efficiency and so whatever it is for Buddy, I don't know what it is for you, Bud.
Yeah, you got me thinking. What is my core? Yeah,
that's.
Well, have you ever asked yourself the time old question of where do you see yourself in 5 years? Five years is a long time. It used to be a long time. It's pretty short now. But you know, whatever your metric is, where do you see yourself in a year? Even right? Because last year. Wow. It's been a year since the middle of me being in quarantine in a relationship with a dog, right?
Yeah, dude, so your life has freaking changed.
Drastically changed over the last year. And so, Bud, where do you see yourself in the next year? And not so much where do you see yourself, but where do you want to be? And picture yourself waking up. What are you doing throughout that day, right? Who are you in a year? Definitely will help probably you figure out what your goals could likely be to get there.
Yeah, I think for I'm realizing that for the, you know, in the past few weeks, couple weeks, slash also this conversation, for this may be, or I may be getting to the first time in my life where I can ask that and think about it and act on it in a healthy way. I mean, there's
like without other obligations or things that influence your,
well, yeah, without the underlying assumption of like, oh, there are things I have to get done. There are commitments I have to fulfill. There's a certain type of person I have to be. And therefore these are my goals. Mm-hmm. That's not changing from love.
Oh,
I'm learning to accept myself exactly the way I am right now. And be, you know, start from there. Excellent. That's okay.
And
I love myself
your
now.
Strengths.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
my strengths,
those.
My core. And now what's the question? Where do I see myself? Where do I want to be in 5 years?
It's fascinating to hear you talk about this, because we were having a text conversation of your, discoveries, revelations, insights on humility. And what humility means and what it is, or, you know, attached to that is what is confidence? How does it look in your life? What is it? Because that was, that's something that I didn't know about myself that was kind of special about myself. I have discovered that I think the majority of people don't like themselves.
Yeah.
The conversations that I have with people that have like, and I'm like, you know, if I were in a room with myself, I probably wouldn't like somebody just like me. I'd be like, he's loud and obnoxious and wants all the attention. Yeah. But my relationship with myself, generally, other than like my physical body, is like super positive. I think I'm the absolute shiz.
Yeah.
In so many ways. But you know, and then we have then the conversation around God, and I attribute that to all the gifts that God has given me. That's a whole different topic that I think we kind of don't see eye to eye on. But the thing that I have the most problems with in my life is my physical body. And I'm saying that not just my confidence, but like the actual issue. Like I have body issues. My stomach is jacked up. I got headaches. It is the thing in my life that causes me the most problems. And it's the thing in my life that it's the one of the few things I'm not actually aligned with that I don't love about myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always grew up with that same confidence, Siege. Obviously I'm, I'm an ambitious person. Over the course of my life, I've tried to start multiple businesses and I was never really satisfied working for somebody else. And I wanted to implement my ideas and try to make money off of them. So I've had a lot of these things come up. Most recently, in the last couple of years, when basically all of that led to kind of this peak, I got an investment for an invention, Unimo, that I wanted to start, a magnetic mounting system. It's going to be convenient for everybody, and smartphones and tablets. And when that second Kickstarter failed and we ran out of funding and all of my investors, I just had to deal with the fact I had let down. My confidence was shattered. And I had always only ever known confidence in life. And so it's been interesting to recognize that and rebuild that confidence with who I am now, as you were saying, bud. Who are you now? Be good with that and go from there. And so hearing you, Siege, talk about how you've always had the same confidence, it doesn't surprise me. There is one aspect that you have never been super confident in, and it's exhibiting itself in more ways than it ever has at this point, which is your body.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. But let me go back and say I didn't always have that confidence.
Oh, okay.
That confidence came once I stopped comparing myself specifically to you guys.
Yeah.
I can see that one coming a little bit, the beginning of that sentence.
Yeah. It's hard to have confidence when you compare yourself to us.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And it was like, it's also, I think that there's one of the natural human abilities, is to compare our worst parts with the other thing or person's best parts.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would look at you guys and be like, freaking, they're so effing skinny. They have six packs, right? So that's, like, the thing. And then Buddy was, like, always super smart, and Colton just got all the hottest girls, and, like, and then Buddy did too. And like,
well,
the, I gotta
interject here just because last time we tried to test this podcast episode out, Buddy did mention Amber and how he met him and everything. Buddy, did you meet Amber through James or through me?
I don't know. I just remember the pool behind Brady's house, and she was flirting up on me, and I had no idea what to do.
Okay.
Oh,
so
man.
Yeah, you were just like struck.
Dude, I was completely befuddled. It was
that's amazing.
This has never happened to me in my life. What do I do?
I mean, that's totally. And that's like a solid example of like of me observing at being 3 years younger.
Four and a third. I'm just going to go ahead and correct that. Four and a third years.
I was talking with Colton.
Oh, okay.
But sure. Yes.
Okay.
There's like that. You guys just always were cooler and seeming to pull things off, and I didn't quite understand how or why, but you guys just had something that I did not have, and I could not figure it out. And then once Colton got married, and Buddy went on his mission, and suddenly I had to figure myself out on my own, and I was comparing myself to my actual peers, I realized, oh, wait a second. I'm not that bad, right? Like, there are things that are really good about me. But I was looking, that's the thing, is that I was looking at people that had, you know, at that age, a double or a third, 25% more experience in life and maturity than I did. And I was like, I don't know how to be there. I think that's one of the big, probably the big devil of goal making, is looking at somebody else's life and basing your goals on
thinking
what
that's
they
what
have.
You want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or you should be there. Or, I mean, I compare myself to my friend. I like my best friend out here in LA. It's bonkers to me to realize that he's older than Buddy. And I look at his life and I'm like, ooh, why don't I have that? I suck so bad for not having that. Dude's 5 years older than I am. He's got 5 years more time, and I'm 30. That's like a significant amount of my life.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway. So for me, Buddy, I think that you, when you had a hard time with goal setting and you are just now getting to a place of being able to look at yourself in a year and be like, what do I want that to look like? The reason you were having a hard time with it, I believe, was you felt I should be in place A, B, and C in my life.
Yeah.
And if I look in a year, I can't be there. Thus, I then internally implode and make no progress at all.
Yeah, to make a gardening metaphor, I planted a toxic seed. It was the goal was set from a place of dissatisfaction about you know, myself and where I was at, and I think that's,
do you feel,
I think that can creep in to anyone's goals at any time, even if it starts from a good place. It's, you know, when you start comparing yourself like that, it's so easy to slip right there into dissatisfaction about where things are at now.
Buddy, excuse me. Anyways, I mentioned to you the book by Matthew McConaughey, Green Lights.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
I believe CJ has listened to the audiobook. You haven't listened to it either? Okay.
If it's a book?
It's an audiobook.
It's unlikely for me. I'm just saying.
Dude,
an audiobook?
Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, I will. If it's recommended to me, I will get to it. But the idea that I listen to something on my own fruition...
Oh, sure.
And it's a book is just asinine. It'll just never happen.
Okay, Green Lights. So, Matthew McConaughey.
All right,
his bio.
He narrates
it. He wrote it. He narrated it. Like he basically just spills his life experience and thoughts throughout life and lessons he learned in his buttery smooth voice.
Yeah. Dude.
All right.
So you recommend that book? That audio book.
Okay. Okay. Green Lights.
I will send it to both of you.
Great. I mean, it feels like this is coming to a natural end, and we're nearing the hour mark, which is like
right gold. On.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Any last thoughts from anybody?
Yeah, a Buddhist tenet. Having no destination, I am never lost.
There you go. Mm. I mean, you're also
don't
never,
love that.
You're also never found. But
did you say you don't love that?
Yeah,
understandable. It hits on the goal thing, and I just want to put out there that goals are not necessary to happy living.
There you go.
Totally. I will. Can I? I'll rebuttal with one of my favorite stories from actually the apostle that I kind of threw under the bus with the whole crater creation thing.
Can we call it an addition?
In addition?
And
did I addition. Say counter?
You said rebuttal.
You said rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
And then I have
an addition.
And then we can.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Is there was a priest that was drunk and was falling all over, walking down this path trying to get to his destination, but he was just going from right to left, and somebody comes up to him and judges him for being drunk on this path. Oh my gosh.
Said the priest.
No.
Oh.
I believe in you.
No, guys, it's gone.
It's fine. We'll just give it a second.
No. Colton, you say your quote. Oh my gosh.
Battle. Haha.
What are you battling?
Anyway, the quote is essentially, this is so embarrassing.
Stumbles, he's drunk, he comes across the road.
The quote is essentially, the quote is essentially, don't judge me for, wandering the frickin' A.
It's, okay.
It's all good.
This is terrible.
It'll come to you,
Colton. CJ will get his quotes figured out. I got one for you right here. This is one of my all-time favorites. I would say it's probably up there at the very top, actually. It's by Steve Jobs, of course. And he was talking at Stanford University to the graduating class. I believe it was 2004. Could be wrong. He said, every morning I wake up and look at myself in the mirror and I think, am I going to enjoy what I am about to do today? And if the answer is no for too many days in a row, I changed something.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that is wonderful.
That's pretty much what I try to live my life by. And leads to a lot of shifts and changes. That's for sure. Apparently my attention span is pretty minimal. When it comes to enjoying something, I'm like, yeah, I've had that enough. I'm going to go try something else now.
Leo Tolstoy wrote once of a priest who was criticized by one of his congregants for not living as resolutely as he should, the critic concluding that the principles that erring preacher taught must therefore also be erroneous. In response to that criticism, the priest says, "Look at my life now and compare it to my former life. You will see that I am trying to live out the truth I proclaim. Unable to live up to the high ideals he taught, the priest admits he has failed, but he cries, 'Attack me if you wish. I do this myself, but don't attack. The path I follow, don't attack the path I follow. If I know the way home, but am walking along it drunkenly, is it any less the right way simply because I am staggering from side to side?'"
That's so good. That was it. Yeah, it's like we don't know anybody's experiences. All we have is our own. And to compare ours with others is natural to kind of gauge where we're at as far as life goes. But to be envious, obviously, of others is not going to serve us. And just taking your own experiences and improving upon them is ultimately what I think will lead to a happy, fulfilling life.
I want this to be the end of every episode, buddy. One of us looking off, seriously doing some self-reflection, trying to understand our own beliefs in the situation. But buddy's like, I can see the hamster is just 900 miles an hour.
That visual of a of someone, you know, you got this path, this perfect straight path, and it's like the goal, that's the ideal, you know, the doctrine, the straight and narrow or whatever that is for an individual, and then you've got the actual reality human path that's back and forth and back and forth, but you know it's going, and maybe sometimes it really wanders off to the side or backwards, but you know, it winds here and there, but it, you know, it gets forward.
Makes me think of multidimensional shit.
Well, and
like there are so many different ways to vary off the path, and like in every dimension, you know, I am doing something differently. Like I'm doing everything in every dimension, Rick and Morty type stuff. You know,
ooh, that's fun.
at every cross points of any indecision, there's a new universe that breaks off.
Yeah.
So like, the priest is the one that's like not identifying himself with his goals. And then previously I was like shaming myself because like the critic to myself, I wasn't straight on the path that I was winding, like, oh, shame on me. I'm winding back and forth. That's good. Very applicable
good stuff. I like talking about goals. I think we covered a lot of ground with one topic, and that was really fun.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
I want to add one more little story from my mission in Guatemala.
Okay.
I had a companion and he was very aggressive in his goal setting, and I thought that was done, because it's like, I was like, hey, we never meet these goals, so like, why are we writing this crap down? And he's like, dude, he was kind of like a shoot for the stars, hit the moon kind of guy. And one day he's like, Elder, I'm going to show you what I mean. Today we're going to teach 20 lessons. And that was like, that was just like absurd. I'm like, there's not time for 20 lessons, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, we're going to define exact, because the mission president had defined what a lesson is. I guess a lot of missionaries were counting like, hey, what's up? You know, Jesus lives. They were counting that as a lesson.
Sure.
And so anyway, that day I was just like, I was just hanging onto his coattail, just like following in doubt. And he was just go, 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 go. And he planned well, and we didn't get 20 lessons, but we got 18.
Holy crap.
18 legitimate lessons on that day. And I was, you know, that was a big lesson for me that, like, you know, goals can be useful. Like if we use the tool wisely, we're not attaching our self-worth to it, but we use goals as a way to plan and measure and motivate.
Yeah.
I can accomplish a lot more than I otherwise would. So
sounds like you learned 18 lessons that day.
Hey-o.
Boom. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I got.
It's cool. It's a cool story. All right. Well, I think that's the end, and... Shotgun no battle.
Shotgun no battle.